I have a passion for rocks. Those who know me, those who know me can attest to the detailed geological description I include in thank you notes for rocks they give me. Having had a career in geology, I know a lot about the past, present, and future of the planet. For me, rocks are also windows into people's lives. I see the great use made of the common mineral quartz for making glass coverings for smartphones. I see the deep emotion attached to the uncommon mineral diamond when placed on wedding rings. Because I love my world, I think I can relate to the passion of the author of the first epistle, John the Evangelist, aka John the Apostle. His window into people's lives is the gospel. John the Evangelist was a man before, of, and after his time. I first confused him with John the Baptist. My ignorance about the Bible embarrassed me until I learned that scholars aren't sure who's who and who did what either. Many historians believe John the Evangelist wrote the Gospel of John, in which John the Baptist is a pivotal character. Other historians dispute this, but for now, we'll go with what one pastor called a no-brainer. John the Evangelist wrote his own book. He's a follower of John the Baptist until comes Jesus. John the Baptist is the first to identify Jesus and baptizes him. John the Evangelist is among the witnesses. After that, he follows Jesus and becomes one of the apostles. This is the prologue of Christianity. John the Evangelist was a man of his time because he was part of the patriarchal society from which Jesus chose his 12 male apostles. Overlooked is Mary Magdalene. Some historians call her the apostle to the apostles. In one branch of Christianity, there's even a book entitled The Gospel of Mary. Without delving into this debated history, everyone agrees that Mary Magdalene is among the first to see Jesus after his resurrection. John the Evangelist includes a poem in his first epistle where the patriarchal structure is evident. He mentions children, young people, and fathers, but not mothers and women. John the Evangelist was a man after his time because he's the only apostle left. All the men of the Big Bang of Christianity are gone. Old man John is the only one in Jesus' inner circle who lived long enough to reminisce and reflect. Local authorities opposed him too. However, instead of being horribly killed like the other apostles, he's exiled. He ends up peacefully living in a city called Ephesus in a country now called Turkey. He's the first retired apostle. What do retired apostles do? In one of our Sunday school classes, we read a book by Phyllis Tickle, The Great Emergence. She's billed as one of the most respected authorities on religion in America. She wrote that Christianity experiences major changes approximately every 500 years. Presenting her points, she backs through time and begins with the Great Reformation, traditionally dated to have begun in 1517. That's when Martin Luther initiates another split in Christianity with his 95 theses nailed to the door of the Catholic Church. From that begins the Protestant Church. Miss Tickle backs another 500 years to the Great Schism in 1054. That's when European Christianity divides into Greek Eastern Orthodoxy and Western Roman Catholicism. 500 years before that brings us to Gregory the Great, a Roman Pope around 590 at the beginning of the end of the Roman Empire. By his time, the Roman Empire had Christianized, so when it began to disintegrate, so did Christianity. Pope Gregory is credited with saving Christianity by putting it into the monasteries. There, Christianity had refuge during what historians call the Dark Ages. And of course, some 500 years plus before that is the year zero, Jesus and the apostles. We don't need to recount details of Christianity's cyclic reconfigurations, but should recognize that the first one reset the calendar of Western civilization. Our birthdays, deaths, and anniversaries are recorded in Christian time, the calendar we know, not the Julian calendar, not the Muslim calendar, not the lunar calendar. When you look through Phyllis Tickle's eyes, you can see the timing of Menno Simon and the Anabaptists in 1539. 500 years later, Mennonites again wrestle with their identity in a conference in Orlando, Florida in 2017. Every 500 years, explains Ms. Tickle, Christianity emerges from internal conflict in a more vital form, and the faith spreads. In the first cycle, Christianity emerges from Judaism, and the apostles take it to Spain, India, and Ethiopia. Borrowing words from another author, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. 12 apostles are whittled down to one. This is when John the Evangelist wrote his epistles. Someone asked me if I felt free when I retired, not having to work anymore. I reluctantly retired because of a tumor, brain surgery, and disability. Dispassionate as a profession in rocks might sound, my career was how I expressed my passion. The drawback of having the perfect purpose in life is nothing else being able to replace it. For a person driven by passion, filling a day with things to do is not enough. They need not a purpose, but their purpose. I imagine old man John felt this way. He's gone from the cutting edge of a movement that changed history to becoming its first graying generation. His movement moves on without him. What do retired apostles do? Before disability and retirement, I volunteered in a neighborhood school and talked to first and fourth graders about rocks and minerals. Talking to children had been another facet of my passion. I wanted to pass on my knowledge about geology, how the mineral halite is really salt in food, or the mineral calcite is medicine for upset tummies. I wanted the children to know how geology shaped their lives. Among post-surgery problems is short and long-term memory loss. I'd come home from the grocery store and discover I'd already bought groceries. I scared myself when repeatedly returning home and to the stove I forgot to cut off after cooking. Honoring my commitment with the school, I stuck out the rest of the school year in which my surgery occurred. However, now I dread it, facing inquisitive students and not remembering my own expertise. It's not exactly like getting exiled, like John the Evangelist, but living with recurring memory loss, there's the feeling of forced detachment and lost identity. All one can do, as I imagine someone exiled would do, is hold on to what they have left. And here's where even I can say prayers for me must have worked. I couldn't remember conversations, what I ate for meals, or transactions in stores, but I never, never forgot my rocks and minerals. I recalled more about geology than I did myself and stayed connected to my community. The New Testament doesn't mention John the Evangelist coping with disability, but it does show he faithfully stayed connected to his community. Lost may have been the big crowds to which he preached when younger, but he maintained relationships with people like I did where I volunteered. We glimpse some relations with his other epistles. His second epistle was addressed to a lady and her children. His third, an individual named Gaius. What did this apostle do? He reminisced and reflected and passed on to the next generation the knowledge of a man before, of, and after his time. With no political and religious calm during 2,000 years of Christianity, fall of a Christianized empire, split between Orthodoxy and Catholics, strife between Catholic and Protestant, it must not have been any more calmer than when, must not have been any calmer when John the Evangelist wrote his epistles. When he wrote the Gospel of John, he addressed believers. In his epistles, he addressed unbelievers. To the unbelievers, he writes that there is, quote, no new commandment, but an old one that you have had from the beginning, unquote. Like me about rocks and minerals, if anyone is qualified to talk about fellowship and commandments, it's John the Evangelist, a.k.a. John the Apostle. Phyllis Tickles simplifies the question asked over the centuries. Where now is the authority? It's the repeated question of Christians assembling, disassembling, and reassembling. The apostles never asked this question. John the Evangelist emphasizes that he really did hear, see, look at, and touch Jesus. However, once Jesus departs, who had authority got murky. The question about authority from antiquity to modernity is translated in our postmodern age to who do we trust? Postmodern sounds like a sociological label. Being postmodern as opposed to modern is the loss of structure, breaking of traditions, and rise of individualism. It explains people leaving traditional churches and people declaring spiritual but not religious. It also explains our chaotic government, worldwide exodus of immigrants, and the Me Too movement. Modern is new replacing old. Postmodern is different replacing new. Postmodern is the great emergence of change. In this year's April issue of the magazine, The Atlantic, is an article about what our era has come to. Misogyny, xenophobia, racism, homophobia are but tips of icebergs. To me, the article isn't information, it's an indictment. If catalysts of the day's issues were just chinks in the armor of patriarchy, I'd regard the article as just another intellectual piece for which the magazine is known. But the indictment includes our own president. When you look at the day's intertwining of politics and religion, you get what the first epistle is about. One illustration in the article is a close-up picture of two wooden red-tipped matches forming a cross. The next illustration, these matches are burnt black. In this country, a burning cross meant death, pure and simple. In this article, we can also see the religious upheaval Ms. Tickle predicted. It's 2018, and evangelicals are going through the same soul-searching as Anabaptists. The reference to the article of the cover isn't my interpretation, but words of an evangelical writing about evangelicals. How evangelicals lost their way and got hooked by Donald Trump. Nor are evangelicals alone. As I speak, Southern Baptists reel from their own Me Too movement from within. Now, John the Evangelist wouldn't have foreseen post-modern America, but he did foresee a post-Jesus world, a world of schisms and dark ages. Remember, he's been exiled. Like the prologue of Christianity, he witnesses the prologue of anti-Christianity. Witnessing much in his long life, he's crystal clear about what is death and darkness. He identifies them as the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride and riches. John the Evangelist doesn't hesitate saying antichrist and calling people liars. This retired apostle felt an urgency to communicate that the original message of Christ is unchanged and that future generations hearing it are guardians of that message. He dedicates his retirement to countermanding false teachings. He's like the author of the magazine article, lamenting and addressing what the world has come to. In his first epistle ends with, not with a farewell, good luck, young people, but little children, keep yourselves from idols. John the Evangelist writes that the antidote to darkness and death is Christian fellowship. What gives him purpose is sharing with the next generation his belief in God and the Son of God. He assures readers that darkness passes and life is eternal. Theologians agree that this aged apostle felt happiest when passing on that message. The prologue of his first epistle ends with, "We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." No, our world's not at peace. It's rife with the antichrist and liars John the Evangelist called out 2,000 years ago. But yes, there are still guardians of the message. The fellowship he advised continues, and like Phyllis Tickle predicted, the faith spreads. We can't speak for evangelicals and Southern Baptists, but Anabaptists are finding a way to reconfigure and spread. That's what the conference in Orlando, Florida had been about last year. We see it here in our own church, where the inclusion of women, immigrants, people of color, and LGBTQ people are issues laid to rest. When I read John the Evangelist's first epistle, I wish I could go back into time and tell them that 20 centuries later, we got the message. We received what he passed on, guard the faith like he hoped, and that our joy is complete.